All right, let's go to line number one. Welcome one of our regulars, also in Columbus right now, Mr. Dorsey Hager of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Hey, Dorsey, welcome back to the show.
Good afternoon, Flash. How are you doing on this first day of December? It's December already.
I'll tell you.
24 shopping days.
Where did this year go, Dorsey? My gosh.
Flew by.
It really flew by. Yeah. Yeah, well, we got lots to catch up on here in the last month. I want to get into this Ohio State University Hospital Tower project, and I saw the $2 billion figure. That sounds fantastic. Sounds like a lot of jobs. But first, I want to talk about something that you and I have had many, many conversations on, and that's apprenticeships. And just a couple of weeks ago, we had National Apprenticeship Week, and I'm sure that kept you busy. Huh? What did you do during that week?
It was a great week. It was an incredibly busy week for us. So it was November 13th to the 19th, and we had a lot of our local unions, a lot of our local building trades programs doing job fairs, career fairs, open house, tours, not only adults in the community, but also kids and young adults and high school students to come through and see what our training centers are like and see what all we have to offer for training and putting kids on a direct path to the middle class. So it was a great week. But the big highlight of the week, actually two big highlights of the week, was the Franklin County Commissioners here in Columbus in Franklin County introduced a proclamation celebrating National Apprenticeship Week, which that was great and that was really cool. But then on top of that, they also introduced a program that we kind of spearheaded and came up with the idea that we're calling Building Futures, where we're going to partner with Franklin County and all the services that they provide, and also Impact Community Outreach, which is a community service organization here in Columbus, which has had great success for the last 30, 35 years. We're going to partner with them, and we are going to start a pre-apprenticeship or apprenticeship readiness program, so that way we can identify adults within the neighborhoods, within the communities, that are either unemployed or underemployed. Because I think right now in the county, our unemployment rate is about 3.2%. So there's still some people out there that are looking for a good job, and there's some people that are underemployed that are looking for a better job. But unfortunately, some of them may have barriers that would keep them from testing or gaining or getting into our apprenticeship programs, or maybe that once they get into our apprenticeship programs, may keep them from being successful. So this pre-apprenticeship program is all about recruitment, community outreach, identifying some of these members of the community that need to be on that path to the middle class, that need that career, and then giving them the tools that they need so that they can gain placement into our apprenticeship programs and get started on a career in the building trades.
Now, how did this come about? Was this something that...
how did this come about?
Yeah, wow, I mean, this didn't sound like it happened overnight.
So, obviously, there's a lot of work in Columbus. There's a lot of work in Central Ohio. The baby boomers are getting ready to retire, so we've talked about this. We're getting kind of pinched on both ends. We've had generations of counselors, parents, teachers tell their kids that the only way that they can get into the middle class is with a college education. Unfortunately, the price of college has skyrocketed. Kids are getting out of college. They've incurred a ton of debt and are having a hard time finding a well-paying job. So there's lots of kids in Central Ohio and in Columbus and Franklin County who maybe don't want to go to college or maybe who can't afford to go to college. We need to let them know that there's a career here for them in the building trades. Now, unfortunately, when some of these young people get out of high school or maybe 28, 30, 35, become displaced or trapped in a job that doesn't pay well, maybe they have some barriers that are keeping them from being successful in our programs.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a education issue. It could be a child care issue. Maybe an issue that with a license that because they don't have access to legal help or they don't know how to navigate the system that they can't do. It could be child support. It could be a number of issues. Some of the things that we even run into with some of our own members that come up time to time. So Franklin County is going to be able to help provide the services to remove some of those barriers. Impact is going to partner with us doing community outreach events to identify these qualified applicants and place them in this program. So that's kind of how we came up with the idea. When we do career fairs and outreach events, we usually have people that can come, test, get right into our programs. But then we have some people that, you know, maybe have the skills, but maybe have a barrier, or maybe don't have any barriers, but maybe lack a little bit of reading, or maybe lack a little bit of math, or maybe lack a little bit of construction acumen, where this program is perfect. This program is perfect to give them the skill set that they need so they have the ability to come right into one of our programs.
Now, when's this going to start?
So we already had our first outreach event. We're getting ready to have a second one here in December, and our first event was incredible. Elder Larry Price, a huge community figure here in Columbus and Central Ohio, good friend of mine, hosted the event at his church at Tridestone Baptist Church. We had over 214 people attend. 112 were interested in the Building Futures program. So we had people sign up. We vetted them. We're going through the process right now. We're looking to start a cohort of 30 students. 30 is about the max that we want to do per class. We're looking at doing a cohort of 30 starting on January 8th. So when that class starts on January 8th, to kind of give you an idea of the program, the first 3 weeks will be some skills, you know, attendance, showing up every day, you know, also identifying, like we said, some of those barriers that may exist with childcare or housing or stuff like that. Then after that first 3 weeks, then they're going to go right into a second 3 weeks, and that's going to be building trades core curriculum, where it's going to be reading, it's going to be math, it's going to be some basic construction skills that are pretty much standard across all the different trades. And when they're taking, this is what I love about this program the most. A lot of individual programs do pre-apprenticeship or apprenticeship readiness, but I can't think of anywhere in the state that's doing it on a multi-trade level where every trade is going to be identified. So when these kids start the program, they're going to be given a work keys assessment. They're going to go through the first 3 weeks of the soft skills, the second 3 weeks of the building trades core, and then we're going to give them that work keys assessment again to see where their talents may lead them, whether it's an electrician, whether it's a cement mason, whether it's an insulator, a plumber, whatever. And then we're going to help them identify not only with what their passion is, but what their skill set is. Then they're going to identify themselves which trade they're interested in. So if they're interested in being a plumber, they're going to go down to 189, and they're going to take classes for 2 weeks that are trade-specific, just on the trade that they self-identified with. Now, after that 2 weeks, are they going to be able to go out and weld pipe and solder copper? Absolutely not, but at least they'll have an idea of what a job site is like, what tools they need, some of the things they're going to be doing. Then after that, they'll be placed with a contractor, and if all goes well, you know, attendance is good, the effort is there, the attitude is good, they'll have that opportunity to step right into a state indentured apprenticeship program.
So in other words, you kind of whet their appetite with a specific trade. And, you know, if they don't like that one, they could go. If they don't like doing plumbing, maybe they can go into electrical work or sheet metal.
Exactly. And we see that all the time. We see young people that are interested in carpentry because everybody knows what a carpenter does, right?
Right.
And they start getting into carpentry and they look at it and they think, wow, I don't know if I really want to do this. But the skills that they've learned and the math and the geometry may lead them to bricklaying or cement mason or roofing. You just don't know. It opens up a you know, just like welders. I have millions of people that call me on a daily basis that have welding skills that are underemployed and hear about the need for welders. Well, you know, the plumbers and fitters obviously do a lot of welding, but the sheet metal workers do welding as well, and so do the iron workers. So, you know, welding is a skill. It's not a trade. It applies to several different trades. So, yeah, when these young people come in, gives our training directors, our managers, reps, agents the opportunity to come in, talk to them in the class, talk about the process of how you get into our apprenticeship programs, but also expose them to what we do in our programs and what it's like. And then, you know, we want to help put these kids on a path to success where they're going to do well, and they're going to do well for their families. So I got to give huge kudos to the commissioners, John O'Grady, Marilyn Brown, Kevin Boyce. This is a tremendous need that's been there in the community for a long time, that I think myself and some other reps and training directors have talked to, but really haven't been able to put our head around. And about a month and a half ago, I just came into the electrician's training center. Steve Lipster was there, and we just sat down late one Friday, and we just kind of brainstormed, what can we do to help give our apprenticeship programs a more qualified applicant? And also, what can we do to help members of the community who may have some of these barriers, who may never have the ability to gain access to our programs? What can we do to help remove some of these barriers so that they have the opportunity to get into our programs? And we came up with this concept. We got a couple members of his staff, Andy Machieski and Julie Machieski, which Julie runs pre-apprenticeship programs for the electrical workers on a year-round basis. We just started going through it. We put together the nuts, the bolts, the budget. We reached out to Bo Chilton at Impact, brought him in, told him what our thought was, what his ideas were about the soft skills, the recruitment, the screening, and the testing, and pretty quickly it came together. And then we went to the county and sold it to them and started working through the nuts and bolts and the finite part of the budget. And this is a pilot program for one class, first cohort of 30, but if everything goes well, we're going to post-game it. We're going to see what worked well, see what didn't work well, and go back to the county commissioners and hopefully do this on a continuous basis.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a good opportunity for a lot of members of our community.
And you said in January you'll get the first class going.
Yep, January 8th, the first class will be going. Like I said, it's a 9-week course, so we should be looking at graduates about the first or second week of March, and that should be perfect timing to be start placing some of these graduates with trades and building trades programs and hopefully indenturing them and placing them out on projects.
I love it. I love it. What a great idea. Well, I'm going to stay on this because this sounds, if this works out like you think it's going to work out, it sounds you're putting a lot of work into it, so something's got to come positive out of it. This is something we could probably duplicate in other areas, bring it to northeastern Ohio, because the need is all around the state of Ohio. It's all around the country, to be honest with you. But this is great stuff, Dorsey. My hat's off to you. Good job.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And like I said, there was a lot of hands on this. It wasn't just me, but you know, I think you're right. I think we're going to make it successful. I think we're going to make it work. And if it doesn't work, it's not for a lack of effort, because we put a ton of effort into it.
Without a doubt. All right, columbusconstruction.org is the website. I got to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about that hospital project and post-election. It's all part of America's workforce. Mother Jones will be joining us later. Well, not Mother Jones, but one of the writers for Mother Jones will be joining us to talk about the tax cut mentality in Washington. It's all part of America's workforce. Back in a few minutes. Don't go away.
You won't find more comprehensive coverage of the issues most important to Ohio's labor trades than in the pages of the Labor Citizen. The full-color tabloid is delivered to thousands of union construction workers each month, providing reports from local unions, interesting feature stories, and news that impacts Ohio's union construction industry. But the only way this valuable monthly publication can be delivered to your mailbox is if your local union decides to join. If your building trades union membership is not receiving the Labor Citizen, ask why at your next regular meeting, or send an email to info@laborcitizen.com.
For over 20 years, Organized Labor has turned to the BMA Media Group for its communications and events needs, because the BMA Media Group knows how to positively impact labor's issues and spread the union message. The BMA Media Group is a union marketing, public relations, production, and events firm. So BMA Media knows what it takes to market union value for you. To learn how the BMA Media Group can assist your labor organization, just visit www.bmamedia.com.
Welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived on awfradio.com. Let's go back to our live line, rejoin Dorsey Hager of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. And as you have heard on the show many, many times, Columbus is on fire with a lot of construction projects, a lot of cranes, a lot of jobs happening. And that is certainly good news for the trades. And I was reading in one of the talking points about this OSU hospital project. What is it, $2 billion? Is that correct?
That's what the preliminary design and funding request to the trustees is going to be. It's going to be about $2 billion. As you know, one of the largest hospital projects ever in the Midwest was completed a few years ago, and it was the Wexner Medical Center, and it was about a $1.4 billion project. And that Wexner Medical Center, it's a nonprofit center, and this year they're looking at ending with about $302 million in excess revenue over expenses. So if you think about that, you look at that, what does that mean? That means that, one, a lot of people are coming to the Wexner to be treated for research, for all kinds of issues, whether it's cancer, whether it's heart disease, whatever. So this center is attracting a ton of people. There's been also a 20% increase in research funding and the record number of applications for this last past fall's entering class at the College of Medicine. So the Ohio State University obviously sees a need, the medical research industry, and also with hospitalization, the baby boomers getting older and stuff. Columbus is a huge community. So what they've done is they've put together a proposal where they want to build another tower. They're rerouting Cannon Drive right now. And Cannon Drive needed to be rerouted because of some traffic issues. But what it did was it opened up some more acreage there on campus near the medical center. So they want to put a new tower there. They also want to add an ambulatory center. So we're talking about two separate structures that are going to be part of the medical campus. And the total dollar figures is going to be right around $2 billion. $2 billion. And they want to kind of get on this pretty quick. I mean, that's a lot of work, and it's a lot of work to happen. But they want to have this completed by 2025.
That's pretty aggressive, no doubt.
It's extremely aggressive. I mean, anybody who's been to Ohio Stadium the last couple months for a Buckeye game, yeah. Anybody who's been on campus, they've seen the starting of the rerouting of Cannon Drive, and it's nowhere complete yet. So that has to be done first. And then, like I said, this hospital and this ambulatory center are just now in the design phase, so the plans aren't even complete. But I think it's a heck of an idea and a heck of a project for Dr. Michael Drake, the president, and also Jay Casey, who's in charge of construction at Ohio State, to undertake. And I'm glad that they have the leadership and the vision to look at this, because I do think it's something that the community desperately needs and can use. And it's going to provide a lot of opportunities for a lot of members here in Columbus and Central Ohio.
Yeah, that was my next question. Do we have any idea? I mean, let's just use that $2 billion figure. Do we have any idea what that will translate to in building trades jobs?
So, again, the Wexner Medical Center was about $1.4 billion, maybe about $1.2 was construction dollars. At the height of that project, I'd say there were 650 to 700 people working on that job every day for about 9 months. So, you know, I would say off and on anywhere, you know, I think that's a good, I would say probably 900 to 1,100 jobs.
Yeah, that makes sense.
For probably, I would say, maybe two and a half year span, you know, ramping up and then winding down. But at the height, I'd say two and a half years, 9 to 1,100 jobs.
Works for me.
Yeah. An enormous project. And not to cycle back, but that's like what we talked about at the first part of the show with the building futures and with our apprenticeship programs. That's why we got to keep getting out there, keep doing outreach throughout the community and letting these members of the community and also these electeds and these service providers and these other members of the community that do work with their people, the teachers, counselors, ministerial alliance, everybody, let them know that there are opportunities there. And as long as we keep building, as long as we keep growing, which that's what it looks like here in Central Ohio, there's opportunities there, and we need to all partner, and you know, we need people from Central Ohio working on these Central Ohio projects.
Great point, Dorsey. What you don't want to happen is to have all this money coming in for a project. You talk about 1,100 jobs, and then when they go out, they say, well, we can't find anybody. You know, you don't want that. You don't want that to happen in your community. That's why it's so important that we build those futures, especially for America's young people today. All right, let's move on to the election. You probably saw the story yesterday. John Houston is teaming up with Mike DeWine for the gubernatorial race on the GOP side. I know there's a lot of Democrats in the fray. Your thoughts on this? I mean, it's a year out, but looks like everybody's lining up right now.
I think it's very interesting. I think John Houston and Mike DeWine saw an opportunity. My personal opinion, I think Jim Renacci has made them a little nervous. Jim Renacci is tied to the people that are now running the Republican Party. He's tied himself to a lot of Trump people, which, you know, I've said this before on your show, I live in a rural community about 35 miles outside of Columbus. The Trump people are still incredibly loyal. I see them in the coffee shops. I see them at my school board meetings. I see them at my county commissioner meetings. And I talk to them about this. I talk to them about that, the tax plan, the Russia, the Jared Kushner stuff. They are very unfazed by all that. They are 100% in Trump's corner, and they are behind him. And I think that DeWine and Houston, the establishment Republicans, are still leery of that. And Renacci, a guy with an endless checking account that can self-fund his campaign and appeals to those Trump people, I think that they felt a little threatened, and that's why they decided they wanted to team up already. And I know the Democrats, we have a lot of people in the field. I think one more person is going to get in the field here very soon. So it's going to be a crowded field, but I hope the Democrats look across the I mean, I'm all for primaries and everything and everybody having their shot, but I hope we don't expend all our resources in a primary and then don't give ourselves a chance to do well in the general. I hope that the Democrats look at what the other side is doing and they have those conversations as well. And maybe that's where leadership from the top steps in and kind of gets everybody in a room and talks about it. Because there's some good down-ballot candidates as well. And, you know, I don't think that the Democrats want a repeat of 2014.
No. The Democrats seem to do a good job in the cities, but when it comes to the rural areas, they have a real difficult time. What do you attribute that to?
You know, I don't attribute it. It's hard for me to sit here and say I attribute it to something. But let's talk about the cities and let's talk about the rural areas. And I'll give you my own opinion. This is, by all means, no opinion of the building trades or no opinion. This is my own personal opinion. One, I think that Strickland was very successful in 2010, and I think a Democrat could be very successful if they unify and if they electrify the bases in these cities. And the way that you do that is to have strong city mayors. You know, Andy Ginther in Columbus, John Cranley in Cincinnati, Nan Whaley in Dayton. And I know that she's on the ticket right now, but Nan Whaley in Dayton, they got to get out there and they got to get their base, their Democratic voters, their progressive voters, whether they're Biden people, whether they're Clinton people, whether they're Bernie people, they've got to get them excited and get them out there and get them voting, and not only voting, but get them out there working to get other people to vote, family members, members of their community. The rural areas, I see it every day. This is my own, again, personal opinion. We got to get back to the lunch pail issues. Members in my community, which is a rural community, they care about three things. They care about the economy, which is jobs. Mm-hmm. They want to have a good job. They care about health care, because health care costs for everybody is skyrocketing, whether you have no health insurance or whether you have a Cadillac plan or whether you have a good plan. Health care is skyrocketing. Premiums cost everything for everybody. Third thing is taxes. Those are the three issues that I think Democrats need to talk about. And the Republicans have right now kind of taken a lot of those issues from us. And I think Trump definitely did it in 2016. He talked about jobs. He talked about the economy. He's brought it up again this week. He's talking about unfair trade agreements. And I know when he went to Youngstown, Mahoning Valley, hell, even Cleveland and Columbus, where we've lost manufacturing, and he talked about unfair trade agreements. That resonated a lot with the Democratic base, and it certainly resonated with union members, and that's what they were attracted to. And that's why 56% of union members voted with Trump last year here in the state of Ohio. So I think, like Tim Ryan says, I think he's absolutely right. We got to get back to jobs and the economy and talk about that and talk about health care and the issues that matter to working class Americans, and that's what we need to talk about, and that's what we need to work on, that's what we need to fix.
Boy, you brought up a good guy there, Tim Ryan. That guy gets it. I wish I see more of him on the national stage.
I could not agree more with you. You're absolutely right, and that is a guy that would appeal in these rural areas. Another good friend of mine, I had lunch with him 2 weeks ago, Scott Schwartzer, mayor of Marion, Ohio, a very red area, very red county, a very Democratic, progressive mayor. But he can sit down with business leaders throughout the county. He can sit down with farmers. He can sit down with progressives. He can sit down with Democrats. And he has that conversation with them, and he can speak to them. And I think those are the people that we need in these rural areas to either running on the ballot or getting their members out and getting their constituents out to vote for some of these people that are looking out for working class issues.
Yeah, that's what politics is all about. That's what leadership is all about. You get two opposite sides in one room and you work things out. You get it done. That's what the people are demanding, and there's nothing wrong with that. All right, Dorsey, we're going to button it up there. Big game tomorrow night, huh? With the battle of the Big Ten.
Huge game. Everybody down here is still talking about playoffs a little bit. I'm not even going to mention that word. 100% focus on Wisconsin. Huge, bruising, physical, offensive, and defensive lines that have pushed people around all year. I think they're going to try to do that to the Buckeyes, too. I hope that we cycle in enough guys to keep them fresh, that we can kind of run around them a little bit, kind of slow down their running games. That's what Wisconsin likes to do. I'm nervous about JT. He got injured in the game Saturday. He got galooly'd by the cameraman there on the sideline, and he had surgery Sunday. But they say he's ready and able to go. If not, I have total faith in Dwayne Haskins to step in. And I hope the Buckeyes just come in, and they've been up and down all year, but I hope they come in. Their mind's right and they're focused. I think Urban will have them ready to go, and I hope they're ready to play, because Wisconsin is incredibly, incredibly underrated. Right now, I would consider them the best team in the Big Ten. Again, physical, bruising, great offensive line, great defensive line. They've got some skill players. They've got a Buckeye wide receiver from Middletown, Ohio, who's had a good year. So don't underestimate Wisconsin. I think it's going to be a great game.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, buddy, you take care. We'll talk to you at the end of next month, okay?
All right. Hey, and at the end of next month, I hope we're still talking about, I hope the Cavs are still on their winning streak. 9 straight, 15-6. They've righted the ship, 3rd in the Eastern Conference, so playing together. Dwayne Wade is playing like he's 26, not 36, so I hope that they keep the momentum going. I'm excited. We got a lot to talk about, a lot to root for. So.
There you go, buddy. All right, you take care. We'll talk to you.
All right, thanks. Have a good weekend, Flash.
Dorsey Hager of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Quick break. When we come back, Mother Jones Magazine on the tax cut. You are listening to America's Workforce.